The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the 1980s, the city of Los Angeles was struggling to deal with escalating gang violence. With more gang members per capita than any other place in the country, Father Gregory Boyle and his congregation saw the extreme need to provide jobs and education as alternatives to the gangs and the senseless violence that they create. Even more importantly, they sought to treat gang members as human beings, addressing their needs and giving them something never given to them before: hope. Today, Homeboy Industries has grown to become one of the largest, most comprehensive, and most successful gang intervention, rehabilitation, and reentry programs in the country. Father Greg shared in a 2012 TEDx talk the story of two men who worked in Homeboy's silk screen factory. On the first day of his new job at Homeboy, a former gang member named Youngster was introduced to his coworkers. Youngster shook the hands of maybe 30 in the group, and then he came to a man named Puppet. Father Greg could tell from the moment Youngster and Puppet caught sight of each other that there was something wrong between them. They stared at their shoes. They didn't shake hands. Father Greg told Youngster that if he couldn't work with Puppet, he could leave right then. There were others waiting in line for the job. Father Greg later found out that there was a deep and personal hatred between the two, one they didn't think they could overcome. But for now, between the two, there was only silence. So Youngster joined the silkscreen team. 6 months later, while walking to a corner store, Puppet was jumped by 10 men in an alley. The beating was brutal, and Puppet, when he was finally taken to the hospital, was declared brain dead. Father Greg said that he had seen horrible things in his life, but nothing that compared to the beaten and lifeless body of Puppet. Before life support was removed, Youngster called Father Greg saying, "Hey, that's messed up what happened to Puppet. Is there anything I can do? Can I give him my blood?" There was a long silence. And then youngster said, "He was not my enemy. He was my friend. We worked together." In the retelling of this story, Father Greg is often asked whether this kind of a reversal always happens at Homeboy. Father Greg's response? Yes. Any exceptions? No. Father Greg says, humans can't demonize people we know. It's hard to sustain that. It's God's dream that we be one people, one body of Christ. It's our greatest longing, too. In our gospel for today, the sons of Zebedee asked Jesus to do for them what might be considered a favor. Jesus has just told the disciples for the third time that in Jerusalem he'll be betrayed and put to death. We don't really know why, but James and John take that opportunity to ask Jesus to grant them the honor of sitting at his left and his right side. It's such an odd time for that question. Or is it? When we hear something that really shocks or scares us, it's not unusual for us to laugh nervously, sometimes even inappropriately. Sometimes we might even ask what might be considered a stupid question. Maybe James and John are really afraid of what's going to happen to Jesus, and possibly to them. Or maybe James and John are out for a power play. They want the prestige of being Jesus' favorite. They want to be better than the other disciples. They want the popularity, the glory, and the honor. Or maybe the reason they ask a question is the combination of fear and power play. Either way, the disciples can't see the reality that Jesus is painting for them. They again don't understand that Jesus is going to suffer and die, and that he's going to do it for them. When the other disciples found out what James and John asked for, they were angry. They lost their tempers. Were they angry because of the inappropriateness of the question asked by James and John? Or were they angry because James and John beat them to the question? Rivalries, no matter how they form, can escalate and destroy the cohesion of the group, can destroy the unity of God's people, can destroy relationships between disciples, between youngster and puppet. Rivalries can destroy the relationships between us. Jesus says, though, that it's not going to be that way with the disciples. So Jesus shifts the focus of the conversation. Did you notice? He shifted it to where it should be. He shifted the conversation from rivalry to service. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. That's what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served. And then to give his life away in exchange for many who are held hostage. Youngster and puppet worked side by side, day by day, working towards a common goal, a relationship developed, the hatred dissolved, the rivalry ended. Youngster offered his own blood to be a servant of puppet. Last week, some of you know that I attended the Southeastern Synod's leadership convocation. And Bishop Michael Burke from Iowa, was our keynote speaker. And he told the story about one of the Lutheran churches in his synod. And this Lutheran church had an older population, so they had a thriving seniors ministry. Churches from all over the area participated in these senior programs. all churches except the three other Lutheran churches in the town. The other Lutheran churches didn't know about those senior programs. They weren't told. The churches in that town worried about members moving from one church to another. All of us hearing the story laughed, but it was one of those nervous laughs, like those of the disciples. We then all sat and quietly wondered where our rivalries are. You only need to go as far as the evening news to know that we are overwhelmed by divisive topics, topics which cause rivalries amongst us, amongst all of us, including good and faithful Christians. The Me Too movement, immigration, gay, straight, Democrats, Republicans, Judge Kavanaugh, gun control, the list goes on. Many of us will struggle in a few weeks to sit at our own Thanksgiving tables. The rivalries within our own families, and I'm not just talking football, will make it difficult to discuss so many important topics. It can really be a challenge to talk to each other with great dignity and respect without overt or even subtle rivalries that can break the relationship. Rivalries break apart our Christian unity. So Jesus redirects us to be one Lord, one faith, one birth, one body, one baptism, to be unified so that we can't help but serve each other. But to serve each other, we have to let ourselves be touched by Jesus and be changed. I hope many of you have had a similar story to this because it was really, really powerful. I met a man many years ago who was very, very, very different from me. And I honestly wondered whether I could ever love him. It started slowly, but I got to know him. We talked during the breaks of choir rehearsal. We talked while serving coffee together at church. I got to know his family. The conversations eventually changed from talking about the weather to why we each believed certain things. And finally, the conversation went to his terminal cancer. By the time he died, I had grown to love this man and even had the opportunity to serve this man, a man who I never, ever thought that I could love. When our rivalries turn into love, Jesus, the great reverser, has been at work in our lives. As with youngster who offered his own blood to save puppet, our stories won't end as we suspect either. When we open ourselves to new relationships, when we give up our prejudices, our rivalries, our anger, and our frustrations with each other, Jesus will do the great reversal. We will glimpse God's vision of unity. Three times Jesus tells the disciples what's going to happen. Three times the disciples misunderstand. But Jesus never, ever gave up on the disciples and won't ever give up on you and me either. Instead, Jesus keeps on giving, healing, loving, serving, giving himself over and over and over until all of us are one. Amen.